continue in our series in James today. If you'll turn with me, our text today is James 1, 19 through 27. I'm going to talk with you today about is believing the Bible. Believing the Bible. I realized when I was going over this again this morning, polishing it up, that I've got more material than I can cover in this message. So this will end up being part one, and next week, Lord willing, part two. I got a little zealous, and I don't think we want to be here till 12:30. So we'll split it. We might even get done early splitting it. Wouldn't that be something, getting out early? We wouldn't have to have Pastor Pot Roast and talk about that long-winded pastor today. All right, let's look in James 1, beginning to read in verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that today, that by your Spirit, you will lead us into all truth, that, Lord, you will draw out of this passage and other places we look all that you would have us to digest today, to feast on, Lord God, to feed our spirits. So, Lord, put a watch on my mouth that I only speak the words you ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And in all of it, that you alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. At a large dinner party in New York, several well-known celebrities were gathered. At one end of the long table, a wealthy woman sat next to a famous scientist. During their conversation, the woman, as was her habit, remarked, "The Bible says so and so." The scientist drew back in shock and said, "The Bible? You don't believe the Bible, do you?" "Yes, indeed I do," said the woman. The scientist laughed and chided her by saying, "Why, I didn't suppose that any intelligent person today believed the Bible." "Oh, yes," said the lady. "You see, I know the author." The scientist was silenced with her remark. We stand either for or against the Bible. We must be sure that our approach to the Bible follows God's directives. First major point, we must hear God's word. We've got to hear God's word. Now let me explain something. We hear a lot of things that we don't hear. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. We hear a lot of things that we don't really hear. Yeah. All right? Now, do guys have probably recognized this, but something I have had to deal with my whole life is being ADHD. You think? We weren't labeled that when we were kids. I'm old enough that we weren't labeled that. I was just labeled naughty. But no matter how hard I tried when I was a young kid in school, no matter how hard I tried to study, my mind would just wander off. And especially if there were any distractions in the room. So for me to do my homework in class, with all the class clowns in full form, it was impossible for me. I couldn't concentrate no matter what. To this day, when I'm reading something, and I do a lot of reading, when I get to the bottom of each page, I have to stop and ask myself, now do I remember what I just read, or did I just read the words, and I took none of it in? Does somebody here know what I'm talking about? You guys all a little ADD too? See, nobody taught me that. I have just had to, out of necessity, learn how to compensate for my condition. So at the bottom of every page, or even every paragraph, I have to ask myself, did I get this? Because if I didn't, I go right back to where I left off, and I start over again. And I've had to do that. I'm so bad some days, I have had to do that two or three times on one page. No wonder it takes me a month to read a book. Sometimes, if it's a big book. So, and it's the same way when I'm listening to someone. I can sit there and really, really try hard to listen, and all of a sudden my eyes will glaze over. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I realize later, I don't know what they said. I didn't get that. You know? Makes you want to raise your hand and say, oh, could you back up to here and cover that one more time? Because we can hear, but not really hear. We can see or read, but not really get it. So we must truly hear God's Word. Because God's Word demands our attention. Demands our attention. The thought seems to be that those who have received so freely of God's goodness, and especially those who have been regenerated by the Word of God, ought to conduct themselves in the manner described in our text that we just read. It is the same Word that provided life and rebirth that now deserves to be heard. Jesus Christ is the living Word. So it's the Word that saves. It is truly the Word that saves, because Jesus Christ is the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. He was with Him in the beginning. All things were made that were made through Him. Okay? So, the Word is very, very important. So it is the Word of God, not merely the Word of men. I've said many times in the pulpit in the last how many years since I've been preaching full time, 25 years already, I guess. I've said many, many times, listen, if I just stand here and spout off, and I'm not speaking the Word of God, it's useless. It's useless. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter what I have to say. It matters what God's Word says. That's what matters, is God's Word. I mentioned earlier about people being regenerated. See, we are regenerated with the Holy Spirit at the moment that we are born again. At the moment we open our hearts to Jesus Christ, repent of our sin, and invite Him to come in and take residence. Take His throne in the middle of our heart. At that moment, we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But there is another regeneration that needs to take place. And that is the regeneration that comes by being washed with the Word. The Word of God brings transformation. Another big word is sanctification. Sanctification is a process that takes place from the time we are born again until our life is required of us. That is ongoing for the rest of our lives, sanctification is. And sanctification takes place through being washed with the Word of God. So the Word of God really, really deserves a high place in our lives. I've said this before. If the only Word of God you are getting is what you're getting from me on Sunday morning, or even if you come on Wednesday night to Bible study, maybe both, you're still anemic if that's all you're getting. We all need a steady daily diet of God's Word. Now that doesn't mean you have to read how many chapters every day, or you're not really a Christian. Not talking about that. I don't care if you read 5 verses in the morning, but meditate on it the rest of the day. Get some of the Word every day and ponder it. Let it get in you. Because the Word of God brings transformation when we apply it. So, God's Word demands our attention. Secondly, the Bible is like a telescope. The Bible is like a telescope. If we look through a telescope, we see worlds beyond. If we look at the telescope, we don't see anything but the telescope. Let me tell you why I brought that up. When we look at our lives and we look at the world through the telescope of the Word of God, it gives us a much better vantage point. Okay? Gives us a much better vantage point. If we are just looking at the Word of God after we look at everything else in the world, this is why people freak out. People freak out because they are looking at the world and the Word is back behind it. But when we have the Word at the forefront and we filter everything else through the Word, we see things differently. Because the Word of God brings everything into balance. The Word of God balances everything. When we're not living in the Word of God, we lose our balance. So, the Bible is to look through so that we can see that which is beyond. Most people only look at it, and so they see a dead letter. Only look at it. and see just a dead letter. If the Word of God is not alive to us, there's something wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, when I was dead in sin, I was getting desperate. It was getting to the end of me living in that life. I actually took the Bible and picked it up one time. And I wanted to know how the end of the book happened. I had a history of that. When I had to do a book report, I'd read the beginning, I'd read the end. Fake the rest of it. Because I didn't like to read, because see, I was ADHD. I turned to the end of the Bible. Well, guess who's there? Revelation. Without the Holy Spirit in my life, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it. I couldn't make sense out of it. I read the whole thing, though. I stuck with it. I read all the way through Revelation. And then I threw the Bible back on the shelf and said, I don't understand that. It was dead to me. Because I was dead in sin. Man, I hope you guys are getting this. This is important. After I got born again, and God filled me with a hunger for the Word of God, and that's the only reason I'm standing here today in front of you. He filled me full of a hunger for the Word of God. And I went from going out on an hour lunch from the place I worked, which was Eagle Supermarket, and drinking a quart of beer and smoking two joints on lunch to get me through the last 4 hours, to sitting down and eating a sandwich and reading my Bible. That got a response out of some of the people I worked with. He thinks he's Jesus. He finally did it. He got some bad stuff. Stone-faced serious. It's the kind of things that they were saying. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't have understood if it had been one of them. I wouldn't have understood. But see, God gave me a hunger for His Word. And I started feasting on it. And the Word came alive in me. To this day, after 42 years, the Word of God is alive in me. I don't have a doctorate. I don't have a Master's of Divinity degree. But I've got a relationship with a living God. His name is Jesus Christ. And He brought His Word alive in me. And that's what He wants to do with every one of us. If we only read the Bible for information, we're falling short. When we read the Bible and take the information we get and allow it to come alive in us and bring transformation, then something's happening. That's lasting. Many people have not given the Bible a chance because they have not really heard its message. Until a person really, really hears the message of the gospel, until they really hear it, and really understand it, and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, the Word of God won't come alive like it does after you come to that realization. Alive. Most people have no idea what it contains, the Bible. Most people have no idea Even people that attend church regularly, it's a small percentage that actually know what is contained in the Bible. Well, you might know a few. Might know John 3:16. Most people that aren't even saved know that verse because it's so popular. It's been everywhere. I'm not making fun of that. Please understand. But that one's out there all the time. It has been for years. I remember when I was a little kid. John 3:16, it was probably the first memory verse we had in Sunday school. I don't know that for sure. I don't remember, but I bet it was right in there in competition for being the first one. Powerful scripture. One little girl was asked by a pastor who visited her home, "What's in your Bible?" The little girl answered honestly, "Oh, a lot of birthdays and dates of weddings and deaths, a lock of hair, some clippings from old newspapers, some photos, and two Valentines." If we believe God's Word is God's Word, then it's time we hear it as God's Word. That's the first step in receiving it. We've got to really hear it and then receive it. See, in receiving God's Word, as I said, Jesus is the living Word. We'll receive Christ. We'll give Him His rightful place. So, second major point is we must receive God's Word. Because receiving God's Word intimately requires a great deal of faith. Faith is described by Jesus as a mustard seed that grows. Here James alludes to the same comparison. Faith is a mustard seed that grows. You know, I remember back to when I got saved. And I think it was like the next night or something after I actually got born again. I was down at my sister and brother-in-law's. They're sitting right over here. And I was leaving there, and there was a dog across the street that was just going crazy. Right across the road, there was this dog absolutely going crazy. And he was snarling, and he was not liking it that I was there. And I think I was leaving to go to work, actually, because I worked nights. Anyway, I had been reading in the Word, and I read that we had authority in Christ over everything. And I'm goofy this way, so I thought, I'm going to check this out. And you got to understand, I was like a kindergartner with a college book at that point. And I just stuck my hand out toward that dog and said, "Be still." And that dog, I kid you not, got all the way down on his belly with his chin on the ground and didn't make another peep till I got in my car and left. Now, why did God do that? Just because I was a new believer, I was checking out God and all His benefits, because He wanted to show me if I would exercise my faith, that He would do things. He's never done that for me since. We were at a place called Out of Africa a few years later out in Arizona, out in Phoenix. And all I did was take a little stick and stick it through the chain link fence and say, "Kitty, kitty, kitty, kitty." And a 500-pound tiger came running full bore and hit that fence right in front of me and roared, and it rattled my ribs. After I put my eyeballs back in my head and and got in touch with my surroundings again, I heard the pitter-patter of three people's feet going up the path, leaving me for dead. My wife was one of them.
I had the credit card. I was going to go home without it.
I kid you not. And then here's the greatest part. This tiger's name was Saginaw. An Indian name means happy guy. You know, you just can't make this stuff up. But God, if we will take that mustard seed faith that we get when we are born again and begin to exercise it, He will do things in us and through us that we could never imagine or think. But it starts with us receiving God's word and beginning to flow in it, operate in it. Guys, I feel like preaching today. I might preach that whole message. I'm kidding. A couple people said, "What?" Faith is described by Jesus as a mustard seed that grows. Here James alludes to the same thing. We have a calling to receive God's word. We must peel off the filth that would hinder its growth. God's word loses its roots when we are more faithful to preconceived notions, traditions, and social ethics. We have got to come to the place that we let go of notions, of old traditions. Not all traditions are bad. But when we get so tied up in tradition that we can't flow in the Spirit of God through learning the Word, it's not a good thing. He's called us to follow after Him. Listen, we need the Word of God for everything. Everything we need in life, every answer that we seek after is in the Word of God. I tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Every single answer is in there if we know where to find it. We're told in the Word of God to study to show ourselves approved. That's not so we can hold our head high and look down our long nose at somebody else that's not as learned in the Word as we are. It's so that we are usable in God's hands. Because when we know the Word and we apply the Word, God does powerful things. The life cycle of a church involves people coming and going. There's always people coming and going in the life cycle of a church. That's just the way it is. Well, this church is an independent, charismatic church. We believe in all of the gifts that are listed in the Word are active today, including tongues, interpretation, including gifts of healings, including prophecy, including, you know, all of it. All of it. We believe that. No apology for that. Now, why did I bring this up? Because of preconceived notions and traditions. We've had people that have come to the church, come a few times, and then maybe there's a tongue and interpretation. Talk to them later. We believe that's from the devil. Really? Where do you find that in the Word of God? They can't tell you. But it's something that they were taught in the denominational churches that they were going to. Tradition. See, the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that the gifts will not go away until Christ returns. When He is here in person, there will be no more need for those gifts anymore. But until then, those gifts are available. Well, God won't force you to operate in them. He won't force you. But they're available for us. And they're power gifts. They're gifts to help us in our walk with Christ. And they're gifts that will help us to be usable in God's hands. To be more usable. More powerful in the power of His might, of course. He doesn't give us gifts so that we can be buffed up and think we're better than somebody else. That's not it at all. It's to empower us so He can use us to bring the message of the gospel. Where gifts of healing are operating, that attracts people, and it always has. When Jesus was operating in healings and deliverance, people gathered. Didn't they? They brought the sick on mats. When the disciples were operating in those gifts, people gathered. Why? Because they see the power of God. And guess what? All of that confirms the Word. The flow of the gifts of the Spirit brings an authenticity to the Word of God. So, we have a calling to receive God's Word. We got to peel off the filth that hinders it. See, our God is holy, and He requires that we peel off the filth in our lives as we continue to grow in Him. And the process of sanctification is us peeling off the filth in our lives and actually Him doing it through the power of His Spirit and the Word. Listen, guys, the Word of God is important for so many things. Another thing that the Word of God is really important, if we are going to truly be discerning, and we really need to be, we are living in a crazy world right now, guys. And we need gifts of discernment. We need discernment. Well, you can't really have an authentic gift of discernment if you don't have a healthy knowledge of the Word of God. Because a big part of having true discernment is discerning whatever we are discerning by filtering it through what does the Word of God say. When we know the authentic Word of God, then in very short notice, we can identify what is not authentic. It's no different than years ago. They don't anymore. They got fancy pen that they put a mark on your $100 bills now or your $50 bills. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Well, it used to be, though, that they would take bank tellers and they would set them in a room and they had to handle money, the real stuff. And they did that for hours, handled real money. And what the whole thing was, is in handling the authentic, even if there was one in a whole stack when they were going through, they'd be able to feel the difference because they had handled so much of the authentic that immediately that which is bogus would be identified. It's the same way with the Word of God operating in our lives in that way to bring discernment. Be able to identify that. Is somebody getting this?
Yes.
I'm trying really hard this morning to teach some stuff about God's Word that maybe you haven't heard before or never thought about before. I hope today you're really hearing it. If I see anybody's eyes glaze over, I'm going to say your name. No, I won't. 12 people just sat up straighter. That brings stuff to your remembrance. I just kind of share with you. My son-in-law, Terry, he's not here. He and Amanda are out. And, well, they're traveling back right now from Scottsdale. But he was having a tough time because he had been out on a long fireman call. And he was sitting in church and he was kind of... Well, I was preaching on a passage where Jesus told his disciples to tarry until the Holy Spirit came. Somebody know what I'm talking about? And he was over here, and he was trying hard, but he was struggling. And I said, and Jesus said, "Terry!" I'm so bad sometimes. He did not for the rest of the service. Oh boy. So, okay, moving on. Receiving God's word produces self-control. We have a real problem controlling ourselves, let's be honest. We do. So, self-control over our lives, first of all, in Acts 24, verse 25, it says, again, Acts 24, verse 25, it says, as Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I'll send for you." Felix was kind of tripping on what Paul had been telling him, and you can read the whole passage when you get home or something, but when Paul was laying it down on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was overwhelmed. Isn't that interesting? He said, that's enough for now. Don't call me, I'll call you. You know, ultimately, that's what he was saying. Because I got to think about this for a little while. There's a lot of people that are that way. They get overwhelmed when we're sharing, and they feel like they're drinking from a fire hose, and we need to know when we just need to step back and let that percolate for a while, and then get back in there and share with them. Harv, didn't I do some of that with you in years past when you stopped at my shop? Sow some seed, let it percolate for a while. And you, remember, you said, you guys are nuts.
I asked the silliest questions I could think of
that night. That's all right. I tried to do what I could. No, but my point is, it's different with everybody, and God had put Brian and his family on my heart. We played a lot of basketball together, and I just kept praying for him, and he kept coming to my shop, man, at the end of the day when I'd be doing paperwork, and we'd get in a conversation about Jesus pretty much every time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And by golly, it took about 10 years, but there they came. Walking with the two kids into the little Baptist church in Comanche. It's true, isn't it?
It's the truth.
You just never know what God's going to do when you extend some patience and just sow some seed. Let it percolate, sow some seed. Let it percolate, sow some seed. Just let it go. You just never know how God's going to use that. So self-control over our lives. Next. Self-control over the lust of the flesh. Boy, there's a place where there's no self-control anymore in the world that we are living in. there's just, well, let's be honest. What our world is focused on today is feeding the flesh. Yeah. That's where our world's at. I don't care where you look, it is focused on feeding the flesh. Romans 6:12, however, says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. I'll read that again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. See, we've got a choice. Temptation comes. But he said, when temptation comes, don't let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. We're told in the Word of God to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Jesus. Take every thought captive. The battleground is right here between our ears. That's where the battleground is. If we meditate on something long enough, we will end up doing it. If we think about something long enough, we will end up doing it. I've told people many times, if you're having problems going to the drinking fountain and there's someone there of the other sex that you're gravitating to and you know there's becoming a problem, don't go to the water fountain anymore. Avoid the water fountain. First Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 17 says, everything is permissible for me, Paul speaking, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Check that out. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And he goes on to say, food for the stomach, and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for your body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Now there's a sentence that we need to never forget. Everywhere we go and everything we do, we take Jesus there with us. Everything. Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never! Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. When we unite ourselves to the Lord, we are one with him, his spirit. We're changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. We're regenerated. We're regenerated. The old order of things has gone and the new has come. That's why when we truly get born again, immediately God starts convicting us and changing us. Little by little, we just begin to change. If that's not happening, then something's wrong with our profession. If our lives have not begun to change after we did that, then there's something wrong with it, because God loves us and will receive us. no matter where we are at, when we hit bottom and invite Him into our lives, He'll receive us. But He loves us way too much to leave us that way. He won't leave us in that state because He loves us. One more verse and then we're going to break and pick this up next week. James 3, verses 1 and 2. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. I shouldn't even be going there, but that fits so well with this. I've got to look there. James 3, 1 through 2. We all stumble in many ways, it says. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. The mouth. Joyce Meyer has wrote on that a lot. I think one of her books is called Me and My Big Mouth or something. Our mouths are the hardest things to control, aren't they? In the heat of the moment, things can come out of our mouths that make ourselves blush. What does it say? It says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. In other words, if we get to where we can control what comes out of our mouths, we'll be able to control our whole body. That's powerful. That's like really, really powerful. So we must receive God's Word. And we're not all the way through that thought either. We got some more scriptures to cover next week on that thought before we move on. There's a lot to be said, and there's a lot in the Word of God about the whole idea of receiving God's Word. And again, see, receiving it is a lot deeper than just reading it or hearing it. Let's all stand together. Lord, I just thank you for this gathering of believers. And Lord, as we have delved into your word, and Lord, I've done the best I know how under the power of your Spirit to bring this message. And Lord, I just pray that you will seal this message in all of our hearts, Lord God. That, Lord, all of it would take root in our hearts. But Lord, what we have left off with is the whole idea of controlling our tongue. Lord, we commit our tongues to you. And we ask you to empower us to watch what comes out of our mouths. You've called us to be holy because you are holy. We humble ourselves and ask you to come along with us in that endeavor. We praise you, Lord, for who you are. Bring us back safely next time, Lord God. Use us throughout this week and be glorified in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.